wasn't great singing this morning. It gave me goosebumps. I don't know about anybody else, but I enjoyed that this morning. Bill did. Appreciate that. Okay. All right, so Brother Randy said, good morning, East End Baptist Church.
Good morning.
Good morning to all the ones that may be joining us online. Welcome. Again, if you're visiting this morning or if you're watching for the first time through the live feed, we're honored and so glad that you have chosen to be here and gather with us this morning. If you are visiting and would like more information on East End Baptist Church or the gospel of Jesus Christ or how to get saved, you know, please stop by the table in the back against the wall there and take some of the information materials they've got laid out for you. And some of our guys normally hang around in the back, so they'll be glad to talk to you if you have any questions at all. And if you will, there's also some guest information cards back there. If you fill one out and leave it for the church to have a record of your attendance today and also pray for you. If you have any prayer requests, just write it on the back of that card and leave it, and the church will be glad to pray over those prayer needs. If you're searching for an active, spirit-filled home, a church to call home, welcome. You know, if you visit more than once, you become a member, right? Isn't that how it works on a Baptist church? Well, if you fill out one of those guest information cards, the church promises that it will not flood your email or your cell phone with messages, nor will your personal information be sold to any third parties. All right, I got that disclaimer out of the way. Amen. Throw that out there to you. So your information is safe with us. But I do, when I was preparing for this message, oh, and stick it into the tithing box, the wooden tithing box in the back. Thank you for pointing that out. You may be wondering where you want to put that card, and Abner just showed that to me. So, but I approached this message a little differently today. You know, we're not going to dig deep into theology or have expository preaching this morning. I may seem to be going all over the place with the message, but I'm just going to preach and give you some scripture right out of the Bible so you can read and meditate on yourself and pray on and maybe take a self-assessment, take a self-inventory on our main text that we're going to be looking at. Yeah, I'm giving you some homework. My prayer is that this simple message, plain message, and the Word of God will convict your hearts this morning, will stir your soul and provoke you to action. You know, I know we had scripture reading this morning, but I really feel prompted to reread that again. So if you bear with me, take your Bibles out and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, and follow along with me. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. While I was reading over this my sermon this morning again, I was changing notes and adding to the outline and praying. And I have no words to describe it, but I felt a little different this morning. I felt this message be a little different. My wife Rhonda had to work, so I texted her this morning to pray for me and pray for the services and pray for the Holy Spirit to move this morning. It was hard to explain, hard to put into words, but I became very emotional this morning when I was reading over this verse. Maybe the sermon or his message is to me. You know, sometimes preachers write sermons and they get preached to also. So let's pray and just let God move this morning, okay? Let's put down all the barriers that we have in front of us this morning, okay? Let's put away all the distractions that may be going on in our mind this morning and really concentrate on God's Word and God's preaching this morning. Let the Holy Spirit have His way among us and in us this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand in Your presence this morning. God, we ask that Your Holy Spirit have His way this morning, not only in the services, but with the services and inside each individual here this morning. God, I pray that You will help me preach Your Word this morning. God, I pray that You will help people put away all distractions that they may have in their minds this morning. God, I pray that You allow the Holy Spirit to take away all the veils or all the barriers that we have this morning. God, I pray that Your Word will flow through this congregation. God, I pray that if anybody here does not know Your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray today that You will convict their hearts and put a burden on them so hard and so heavy, they will make that decision and come forward and give their life to You. God, I pray if anybody here that may have been backslidden, that may have fallen away from You, Lord, God, I pray they will make it today that they come back to You. God, thank You for this message. Thank You for the conviction. And thank You for Your love. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, as always I try to do in my sermons, I try to give you some background and some information on what's happening, where we are in a particular part of Scripture. So you can kind of have a picture in your mind and it might help you with your understanding of the text. Here, Jesus has been crucified, He died, and is risen. He had visited the disciples and shown doubting Thomas His hands and His pierced side to prove that He was really Jesus standing there in front of them, that He has, in fact, risen. Jesus has appeared to disciples twice before this third appearance on this day on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, or Sea of Galilee. The disciples have gone fishing. They see a man standing on the shore where the dawn was breaking, but they did not know who he was at first. Jesus calls out asking if they've caught anything, and then John said, "It is the Lord." Peter then put his clothes back on because he was fishing naked. Don't picture that in your mind. And he jumped in the sea. Now, he was either an Olympic swimming champion or he walked on water, but he beat the others back to shore. When they had finished breakfast, Scripture says Jesus opened the conversation asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Until then, the last conversation Jesus had with Peter was just before Jesus was arrested to be crucified. After the Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus had predicted to His disciples that they all would abandon Him the same night. But Peter answered he wouldn't abandon Jesus, even though all the other disciples would. Then Jesus responded to Peter, "Before the rooster crows tonight, you will deny me three times." And Peter said, "Even if I have to die, I will not deny you." It was Peter's vow not to disown Jesus no matter what happens. It was Peter's confession that he loved Jesus more than the other disciples did. The last time Peter saw Jesus, he was denying Him publicly throwing in cuss words to distance himself from the Lord. At the same time, as Jesus had predicted, a rooster crowed and Peter remembered what Jesus had spoken about him. And then he wept bitterly. And we come to this short but powerful conversation between Jesus and Peter in John chapter 21. When I was a kid, maybe my early teens, I remember in school when boyfriends and girlfriends would pass love notes to each other. You know, they would giggle. They would gush over the person. They would make goo-goo faces at them. Cheeks turn a little red. I know it's pretty disgusting, isn't it? Y'all remember that back in school? You know, the ones that didn't have a steady boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they may be on the prowl, would pass a note to the ones that they really liked or had a crush on. And in that note, there would be a simple little question written on it. Do you love me? Check yes or no. Y'all remember that? Had little boxes drawn, and check yes, check no on there. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that didn't get one of those notes? I know, feel sorry for me. And you would answer that question by checking the box, yes or no, and pass the note back to the one that sent it to you. You can either make someone's day and check yes, or you can break someone's widow heart and just kill that crush they may have on you by checking no. And even old King of Country, George Strait, had a very popular song. Y'all remember that? Check yes or no? No, I'm not going to sing it to you, so don't worry. But the lyric says, do you love me? Do you want to be my friend? And if you do, well, then don't be afraid to take me by the hand. If you want to, I think this is how love goes. Check yes or no. A great song. Well, in our message today, the same question, do you love me, was asked not once, but three times. It was asked of Peter. If Jesus somehow miraculously appeared right now in our services and stood right out front and asked you individually and in front of everyone else that same question he did Peter, do you love me? Would you or could you be completely honest in how you answer that? How would you answer that? Would you check yes or no? Besides being commanded in Mark 12:30 of the greatest and most important commandment, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. I thought about that this week. Why should we love God? Have you ever put much thought into why you do or do not love God? How many times have you spent this past week or month or year thinking about the love of God and your love for God? How much time? If you're here today and watching in, or I sincerely hope that you check yes and that you do sincerely and honestly love God. If you answer yes, and I suspect and I hope everyone would, how would you answer that question I just asked? Why? Why do you love God? Besides learning about the cross of Christ last Sunday, if that wasn't enough reason to love God, and what it symbolized wasn't enough to cause us to love God, there are many other reasons, and your reasons may be a little different than mine. But I nailed down 4 points this morning because that's all the time you guys have given me. And I'm not sure what the Holy Spirit has in store for us this morning as the service moves on. And besides, you know, we can spend days up here talking about why we love God. And I may use God and Jesus interchangeably in a message, so I don't want you to get confused because we believe they're the same person, right?
So let me begin with this famous quote. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
So the first point,
why we should love God, is because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:10,
in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Because He first loved us. He loved us before the foundations of the world. He loved us before we were born. He loved us before salvation. When we were in darkness and trespassing in our sins, He loved us. He loved us before we even thought about loving Him. I love God because He first loved me. I'm not going to go in deep to each of my points. I have a lot of points to finish up with. So, I love God because He first loved me. The second point is because He hears and answers our prayers. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart. Psalm 116:1. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Psalm 55:16 through 17. But I called to God, and the Lord would save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and He hears my voice. One reason we know God hears our prayers is because He promised to hear them. Even if He doesn't always answer the way we think He should or want Him to, He hears us, church. When a sinner cries out in their darkness of pain to be saved, He hears them. When a believer cries out for forgiveness or guidance in our lives or behalf of others, He hears us. However, God doesn't answer our prayers the way we think He should or want Him because He loves us. And because He loves us so much and cares for us, He knows what is best for us. A lot of people say, you know, I thank God for unanswered prayers. I don't believe that. And even Garth Brooks has a hit song with the title Unanswered Prayers. But there are no unanswered prayers, church. I believe that God hears all of our cries and all of our prayers, and He answers them either yes or no or just wait. I love God because I know He hears my cries. I love God because I know He hears and understands my pain, and He hears and answers my prayers. The third point is why we should love God. Because He has forgiven our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:12. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. I think that deserves an amen, church. Is that worthy of His love? This is a big one. And I thank God He saw fit to forgive me. I love God because He has forgiven me of my filthy, wretched sins. I love God because He has created in me a new creature and brought me out of my darkness and out of that muck and mire of that pig pen I once was in. The fourth point why we should love God is because of His provisions. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who had called us to His own glory
and excellence. Philippians 4:19,
And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And probably the most famous one of all, Psalms 23:1, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, church, I'm not talking about that perverted prosperity gospel that's being peddled by false teachers and preachers all over the internet and TV. You know, He not only provides material things for us, but He provides spiritual things as well. He provides the way to salvation. He provides the way to heaven. He provides reconciliation to our Heavenly Father. He provides the bread of life, the living waters, that we may never... You may have heard this story or seen it on the internet or whatever, but it's a great illustration of His provision. There was a Christian widow lady who lived next door to a atheist. Every day when the lady prayed, the atheist guy heard her. He thought to himself, she sure is crazy praying all the time like that. Doesn't she know there isn't a God? Many times while she was praying, he would go to her house and harass her, saying, lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you understand? Don't you know there is no God? But she kept on praying and kept on praying. One day she ran out of groceries because she was on a fixed income. As usual, she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking Him for what He has done so far and what He was going to do. And as usual, the atheist heard her praying and thought to himself, well, I'll fix her this time. He went to the grocery store and bought a whole bunch of groceries, took them to her house, dropped them off on the front porch, rang the doorbell, and jumped in the bushes to see what she would do. When she opened the door and saw the groceries, she began to praise the Lord with all of her heart, jumping and singing and shouting everywhere, thank God, thank you, Lord. The atheist then jumped up out of the bushes and told her, you crazy old lady. God didn't provide those groceries for you. I bought those groceries and dropped them off at your doorstep. And hearing this, she broke out and started running down the street, shouting and proclaiming and praising the Lord. When the atheist finally caught up with her, he asked what her problem was. And she said, I knew the Lord would provide me with some groceries, but I didn't know He was going to make the devil pay for them. He provides. I love God because He always provides. Church, it's easy to say you love God in here, inside this church. It's easy to say you love God around other believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's easy to say you love God in the good times and times of plenty when you're on top of that mountain. When things are going good, you say, oh, God is good. God's been so good to me. God has blessed me. I love you, Lord. And what we always say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But do you still love God? When this old, cruel, wicked world has its hands around your throat and trying to squeeze the life right out of you, got you beat down, bloodied and bruised, and all the while cursing you and spitting in your face and calling you every name in the book, when you're down to your last dollar in your bank account and you still have bills due, do you still love God? We ought to love God in richer or poorer, in sickness and health. Amen. There's an old hymn that goes along with this message, this title, Oh, How I Love Jesus. There's a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music to my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because what? He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. If you notice in His conversation in our text today to Peter, Jesus did not verbally scold or berate Peter or condemn him. Even after Peter denied Him and tried to distance himself from Him, even cursed him, Jesus forgave Peter and restored Peter because He loved Peter dearly, even after all that. He still loves you too that much. Even after all the times you try to distance yourself from Him, He loves you even the times when you denied even knowing Him, when you betrayed Him, when you're placing other things before Him in your life. He loves you even when you love other things more than Him. He loves you even when you use His name in an unholy manner. He doesn't like it, but He still loves you. When you have backslidden and when you waller in your sin, He loves you. He still loves you and wants to restore you too. You know, I know one thing. You can't honestly say you love God and love the world and love the sin at the same time. How can you say, I love God, and be numb and indifferent to sin? How can you say, I love God, when you're numb or indifferent to the wickedness that may be in your life, or that's going on in this world or in our country or even in churches nowadays? When the world and its theology and its perversion are creeping into our churches nowadays, how can you say, I love God, and allow on that? Psalms 97:10 says, Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of His saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. The Bible tells you that you are either with God or without Him. And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. But his actions told a whole different story, didn't it? Do people around you know how much you love the Lord? Do they know without a shadow of a doubt of the love you have for Him? Do they know how much love you have for Him by the way you live and by your actions? how you walk and talk outside of the walls of this church. Do they know how much you love Him without even saying a word or giving your personal testimony? Can the people out there, the lost, the skeptics, the unbelievers, know you really love Jesus, and why? Do they? If people can't tell or really don't know if you love God or not, Peter says, God knows. He knows if you truly love Him or not. Church, we can put on all the acts. We may can fool people or lie to people about our love for God. But in our text today, verse 17, it said to him the third time, Simon, son of God, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. If your love for Jesus has grown cold or not how it should be today, I'll ask that you go in prayer and ask Him, first of all, to forgive you. And ask Him to restore you and help you get that agape love back in your life. After everything that He has done for you, the sacrifice that He made for you, all the things He continues to do in your life for you, His answered prayers, His provisions, His continuous love for you, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. Oh, church, our God is good and is worthy of our love. How are we supposed to love the lost and love our neighbors and each other and love His church and love the same things He loves if we don't love God with all of our heart and our mind and our strength and our soul? You know, lip service is easy. It really doesn't mean much without action. Our lives should show and prove our love for Jesus. And boy, this message hit me right between the eyes this week. Even though I love Jesus, I find myself sometimes wax cold. It was hard this week. You have a choice. God didn't make robots and machines without the ability to choose. If you say, I do not love God, it's because you don't want to. It's your choice. But church, He didn't have to love us, but He does. He chose to. I wish I could take credit for this quote, but I can't. But someone once said, the greatest reason to love God is God. Think on that for a minute. If you can understand truly who He is and have experienced Him, you can't help but love Him. I'm going to ask you to get ready for an invitation. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Think on this message this morning. How is your love for Jesus this morning? Does it need to be re-sparked and rekindled? Has it grown cold? Have you become indifferent? If you need that love for God, the love for Jesus rekindled in your life, I ask you to make a choice today. Choose to do that today and come forward. Ask Him to relight that fire inside of you. I'm asking, will you come and tell the Lord you love Him? How many times has God asked you personally, do you love me? Has He asked you 3 times like Peter? 100 times? 1,000 times? Has He asked that all your life? How many times do you love me? Love for the Lord today. Will you declare your love for the Lord when you leave this building today? Do you love me? Signed, God, was the name of the message this morning. Do you love Him? Church, if we love Him like we ought to love Him, I believe everything else will fall in place. We will know how to love other people. We will know how to love our spouse. We will know how to love His church. We will know how to love His Word. Here this morning, if you do not know anything about that love of God, I'm going to ask you to come forward and submit to Him this morning. If you need to make that decision to be saved, to be born again, what better day to do that today? If you find yourself that you may have been backslidden or kind of distance yourself from Him for whatever reason, I'm going to ask you to come forward today and restore that relationship with Him. Proclaim your love for Jesus today. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. He's not of us. Oh, how He loves us. If you need a special prayer, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'll be glad to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands went up. I'm going to pray, and we're going to stand. We have an invitation. And please, please, if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit for action, please, don't suppress it. Don't deny it. Be obedient this morning. Heavenly Father, just thank You so much for this message. Thank You so much for this church and for all the ones that came out this morning and may be watching in online, Lord. God, I pray if anybody here that their love has grown cold or indifferent to You, Lord, God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would spur that spark back into their lives and their heart, Lord. God, I pray that more people would understand the love that You have for us. Could experience that love. So that we know how to love others. God, I know personally, I thank You, and I am so grateful that You love me. I know I was not a very nice person before. I can even say I didn't love You before. But God, You never gave up on me. You never stopped loving me. You kept pursuing me. And I thank God for that. I thank God You loved me that much. And I thank You for saving my soul. And bringing me to the knowledge and love of Your Son, Jesus. God, I pray that no one leaves here today without experiencing that love.
God, thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you please stand?